Hi, I'm Jennifer Osborne. This is the Conversations of Hope podcast, stories of hope as told by those who live them. Back at the end of 2018, I had the awesome experience to interview Gina Meisner. She was all smiles as she sat with a scarf covering a shaved head and sensors that had to remain to keep them in the same exact place as she went through treatment. This was all to battle a brain tumor. Gina was the epitome of grace under pressure, even sharing with me that she was grateful for the experience because it gave her a perspective on life that she probably wouldn't have had otherwise. Sadly, Gina passed away in September of 2020 at the age of 38, leaving behind 3 kids and a grieving family. This interview with her is part 1 of 2. Thank you.
Well, hi, Gina. I am so excited to be interviewing you. It's been a real pleasure to get to know you. I was struck by you had said in one of our pre-interviews that you said you felt like you were glad you went through this journey.
Yes.
Because it brought you to the end of what? What made you say you were really glad that you went through this journey that we're going to talk about?
There are, I guess, a couple things I can say about that. I'd say I found myself through this. And I know that that might seem like an overwhelming thing to say, but truly felt and found myself. I found my bravery. I found my ability to have so much love and compassion, to have so much courage, to know that I wasn't going to fail, and to know God so much better. Such a strong faith that I had never known, all because this happened. And I'm thankful every day for that.
A lot of this started for you in 2014, right?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about like when you started having the symptoms and how that kind of manifests itself in the beginning.
Okay, sure. I was in class at University of Toledo, and I randomly just had this like surge go from my head to my fingers, and everything was just tingling, and it didn't stop, it stayed. I felt like something had happened. So I contacted my primary provider at the time and, you know, went to see her. And she said, you know, well, you did just have Jax, which is my youngest child. I had him a year prior. She said, let me run an exam on you. Let's see what's going on if we can. And so she did. She came back and she said, it looks like you have joint sclerosis, which happens through pregnancies, I guess. I had never had happen, but she said, you know, you're fine. There's nothing we can do. It usually lasts about 2 years. You know, just if something really becomes bothersome, you know, let us know. Okay. So a couple months later, I had the same thing happen, but now from like waist to toes. And okay, you know, something's not right here. So I go back. And of course, she says, okay, that can't be the problem. You know, I need to send you on to a new doctor. So at that time, nothing else was happening with me except for nonstop tingling and vibrations, and just it didn't feel right.
That had to be very strange. Like, even just trying to deal with, because at the time, your youngest was a year old, so you're a new mom. With these very strange symptoms. And your other two were how old about that point?
Let's see, in 2014. So we had, Evan would be 9 and Samantha 7.
Wow. So you had young kids.
Yes.
Dealing with this. Okay. Sorry. Just wanted to.
No, you're okay.
That's like a.
Yes.
That would have been a challenge trying to deal with all that.
It was very odd. I had never had that happen prior to. So at first when she said, you know, it seems to be just, like a delayed situation with my body after having him. But she was adamant that it had to be something more than this. And I'd never got, I mean, I didn't experience numbness or anything, so I could always feel, but with different sensations happening. So they did, they moved me on to physical medicine to take a look at nerves to see if something happening there. So I moved on to a new doctor, new department, and of course, after running some tests, I had severe damage to all four extremities.
Mm-hmm. In the nerves, right?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Both arms, both legs, they went, you know, a certain amount up, very, just severe damage, and they had no idea why. So, of course, starting to research that and running more tests and trying to figure out, you know, what can we do? We don't, you know, we just don't know where to aim this at, what's happening. At that point, my doctor said, you know, let's pass you on to rheumatology and let's see if they have ideas of what could be happening to you. So, of course, my rheumatologist tested for so many things, stated I had no symptoms to match any of these. I didn't make sense. Everything that they were looking at, I didn't have all of the given symptoms for these. So after so long, the rheumatologist said, you know, hey, Gina, looking through everything for the last so many months, nobody has asked to perform an MRI on your brain. And I said, okay, no, they haven't. You know, is there a concern for something? And he had mentioned you don't match multiple sclerosis, but I'd really like to scan you if I could, just so I could mark that off the list if you did not have these certain, something very visible that's in there that always comes along with MS. So on April 27th of 2015, I had my MRI. And later that day, he called me and said, you do not have that particular marking, but you have a very large mass in your head. And he said, you know, I'm so sorry. You know, we had no concerns that, you know, this was going to be the result, and I need to send you on to neurology. How many things happen through your mind going, what just happened? Yeah. And what is this? And what does this mean? And, you know, just my mind was going. And, but I got, you know, I let my family know, and I said, you know, I have to go see neurology. Let's not, you know, jump to conclusions here on the situation. So I got to meet a neurology team not too many days later. They were, of course, reviewing everything that had been going on. They wanted to run some tests to see if there were certain things that could help indicate what was happening in there. So we agreed, of course, to do that, and they, together as a team, thought that I possibly had a virus. There's a certain virus that can settle in that area of your brain. So they said, you know, can we attempt this? Can we put you on a PICC line, treat you for so many weeks, and see if that, if it disappears?
So, which the virus, I guess, would present like a tumor. Is that what?
No, it's actually, the tumor itself did not look like one large solid mass. It kind of intertwined with so much healthy cell. So it didn't appear necessarily right away to call it a solid mass tumor.
Okay.
So I did. I went on it. It was interesting for those 4 weeks, but completed it. And of course, we had a new MRI to view everything, and nothing had changed. So there was a continuation of doing some other testing before they could decide what the next steps would be. So I proceeded to take on a different type of MRI and a WADA test, which helped them to find out where all my primary senses, my memory, my motor skills, my speech, my understanding speech, and that was really important before they could decide what to do. I am a left-handed person, and left-handers are not like right-handed. Right-handed people are automatically dominant for all of those on their left. But left-handers, they have a 50-50 chance of which side those would be on. So I went through these special tests to find out, and 90% of the dominancy for all of those is on the left side of my brain where this tumor existed. Understanding speech was on my right, but everything else was right there with it. So they talked with me about a biopsy and how it wasn't the best way to diagnose what was in my brain, because it was just that it was so intertwined that to try a biopsy, the chance that they could get healthy cells mixed in was too possible. So that is when the first surgery came about. They asked me if I'd be willing to go into surgery for a 5% partial extraction so they could secure enough to find out what this was. Went through the surgery, and I woke up in seizures. I had 14 that day. I had 12 the next. And it kept going and going from there. And they weren't sure what happened. They said obviously it was stimulation in some area during that procedure. And so there was a new challenge presented to us. After pathology took a look at everything, they did tell us that it is a tumor, astrocytoma. They said borderline of, a grade 2, grade 3. So we needed to discuss options. So we continued on to try to, number one, control the seizures, because that was not, that wasn't helping. Obviously, everything else we were trying to achieve, my body started to run down, just getting very, very tired. I was having so many reactions to so many of the medications they were trying to control the seizures under. It was just a very difficult time.
Because you were having, 14 a day?
When the first day that I woke from surgery, slowly as time went on, we'd get less and less, but they never went away.
So it was still multiple ones a day,
yes,
that you were dealing with,
yes,
which is like you couldn't drive and
right. They
and all
there
that
was recommendations on all these things to stop. I ended up not driving for 2.5 years.
Wow.
Ladders, kitchen knives,
all the things.
Yes. So they said, well, we can start monitoring and we'll just watch it. If you are interested in starting a treatment prior to having any enhancement, that can be an option. They laid out some options. So we went with monitoring. And I just started to come up with ideas that my family and I myself could really work on to strengthen my body. So whatever this was going to be, that I could at least do my part to keep myself as healthy as I could. So every 3 months I would go in for a new MRI and they would look at it and, you know, for until 2017, seemed to stay very stable. Nothing of significance or concern.
And in the meantime, you graduated, though, right? You finished school, so you're right in the middle of all of this.
Yes.
And you graduated in 2016, right?
I did, yes.
And so, I mean, that's a huge accomplishment, dealing with these medical issues. You're trying to study. You're a young mom taking care of young kids. Like, that's a lot to juggle. I don't know how you did that. That's amazing that you were able to manage all of that.
Yes, I do believe that some of it seemed very impossible, but it has so much to do with who you have around you.
Yeah.
And the love and the support and I graduated because I had my friends, I had my family, I had professors who stayed by my side through the whole thing and made sure that I was going to achieve that degree that I came there for. Everything from ER visits, because seizures were, you know, thrown into like a fit of 7 or 8 and they wouldn't stop, you know, they'd get me there as soon as possible. Doctor's appointments if I didn't have a ride there. That is a huge team.
Yeah.
A huge team. And yeah, they helped with my kids, you know, and that they could maintain as much of a normal life as they could, if that makes any sense.
It does.
I tried to give them as much of me as I could, but it was so overwhelming, and I would be so emotional when they weren't in front of me, of course, because you're wondering why do I have this, why is this here, what is going on, am I gonna know them when they're bigger, you know? It's just stuff that flowed through you. But I had to wake up every morning and tell myself, I have another day. I have a day to be a mom. I have a day to be a friend. I have a day to help. I have a day to love. I have a new day. So that is, I think, how I got to the point where everything turned so exciting for me, which most people would say is not exciting, but it very well. It was the day that I met God right there.
Is that it? That was in 2017, or was it? When, yes. Okay, so tell me what happened in 2017.
I went for another MRI after a 3-month wait. And, you know, they presented it to me and said, you know, Gina, we have this little spot that has shown up on your new MRI. It's just a little dot, but it's there, with indication of, you know, enhancement, which is indicating cancer cells. And that is not what anyone wants to hear. And they said, you know, we took it to the tumor board. You know, everyone is well aware. Our best opportunity is we can start chemo and radiation as soon as possible. And we had inquired about surgery, and it was just stated with everything that they had learned about me over this time that another surgery, well, it would affect my quality of life. So it was at the very, very bottom of their list. And I understand completely why, but I had this feeling, this very strong feeling that day that said something is not right. Something's not right. And so they asked if I had a decision or did I want to think about it. I said, I need a few days, and I'll let you know. And my mom and dad were with me, and we got in the car, and my parents were saying the same thing. This doesn't seem right. Something's something's off.
You've been listening to the Conversations of Hope podcast. Stories of hope as told by those who live them. Music by Lauren Dusky. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2022 by Parable Road.